I'm Erin Knoble, and I'm going to talk today about our community collaborative to improve school nurse access to written asthma action plans and their students with asthma. Among our group, Marty Alleman, who's a public health nurse in Olmsted County, is here with me today. I have no financial disclosures. Learning objectives for you today, I'd like you to understand the collaborative process that we used in order to improve asthma management in school-aged children. I'd like to you to be able to describe some of the barriers that we found in our community collaborative and improvement effort, and also some solutions that we've been able to find to overcome these barriers and make a difference in the health of our community. We live in Rochester, Minnesota, which is located in southeast Minnesota. Our town is has a population of about 100,000. It is rapidly growing. It's a relatively affluent community with healthcare, Mayo Clinic being the primary biggest employer, and IBM in the high-tech industry also being located there. But despite that relative affluence, we do have poverty. And our children, like in most places, are more effective than others. 31% of our students in Rochester Public Schools are minority, and there are 69 different primary languages spoken in homes in Rochester, Minnesota. 25% qualify for free and reduced lunch, and 1 in 10 children in our community live in poverty. Asthma is the most prevalent chronic disease in children, affecting about 10 to 12%. And this disease leads to a lot of school absenteeism, poor school performance. It also leads to other chronic conditions such as obesity because of the decreased participation in school activities and sports. Parental work productivity is affected, and then healthcare utilization for uncontrolled asthma is also high. In 2007, the National Asthma Education and Prevention Program put out some guidelines for management of asthma, and a lot of it's for the medical community and about asthma control and medications to use, but there was an emphasis put on educational interventions in school settings and also written asthma action plans, which have been shown to improve patient self-efficacy when managing asthma. The National Initiative for Children's Healthcare Quality has also put a large emphasis on partnering with schools in the management of asthma. In our community in 2005, the Community Healthcare Access Collaborative came together to address issues among our diverse population, and asthma was identified as an issue of significance. From that group, a task force was convened in 2007 that basically recognized the impact of asthma in children across the spectrum of health and community, and it was thought to be a place where we could start with some collaboration in an area of health significance to also create a true patient-centered care. While we started with asthma, these processes that we were going to define and everything out of asthma, we are hopefully going to apply to other chronic diseases within the school as we move forward. Our task force consists of representatives from Mayo Clinic and Olmsted Medical Group. One of the nice things about our community is we have two healthcare providers for all of our children in the community and not small groups. We have two large groups. Olmsted County Public Health Services, where Marty is from, have always been involved in our schools since the 1940s, and they play a large role in the school health services. Our public school district, including nursing, principals, administrators were involved, and then the Southeast Minnesota Asthma Coalition, which is more of an asthma activist group, was involved. we started in our initial meetings kind of defining our parameters. What were we going to try and accomplish? We decided to target school-age children, 5 to 18, and then recognized that we all needed to have a common definition of asthma, and meaning that the school nurse, the parent, the healthcare provider had to call asthma when it was asthma, and let people graduate from that diagnosis when it was no longer an issue for the kid. We also felt like starting with pilots to kind of find best practices and information content would be the best way to go, and then we would stage participation by all schools over time. We spent a lot of time establishing communication and data sharing plans among the stakeholders, with an emphasis of that sharing being on an asthma action plan, which is a pretty simple but concrete goal. Our objective then was that every child aged 5 to 18 year old with asthma in Rochester schools will have a written asthma action plan at school. And through this, we hope to show that improved care coordination through sharing of asthma action plans in these children would improve efficiency of communication between students, parents, and healthcare providers, improve asthma knowledge and self-management, improve school attendance and thereby performance, and also decrease lost parental work productivity, improve the health of students. And in the end, although we recognize this might be a 10-year goal, to decrease healthcare utilization for problems of asthma. So this is a kind of picture of what we like to show the child, the student with asthma, wrapped around by home, school, and the medical providers, all of us coordinating our care and efforts. And early on, we came up with a logic model that we have to refer back to frequently. I can honestly say that we're about halfway through this, 4 years into it, and still, especially having a lot of IT development issues, as well as getting, now that we have the asthma action plans, how usable are they? How can we make sure that any education needs and the people that are using asthma action plans are met? The community-based definition of asthma that we use is basically if you've used an asthma-related medication for a breathing problem in the last 2 years, we're counting you as asthma. And so that might mean that you've had albuterol in school once or twice over the past 2 years. It might mean that you use a controller medicine every day. And this was something that all of us could get our arms around. Recognizing that data sharing between healthcare providers and schools has a lot of law, privacy law around it, HIPAA in the healthcare organization, FERPA in the schools, and all of our organizations have already worked very hard on creating their own release of information forms. So how do we get kind of a standard form that both organization or all of the organizations can agree to on both sides, school and HIPAA? And luckily, around 2008, the Minnesota Asthma Program was working on this same issue with their legal people and had developed a consent form that has a relatively simple reading level for understanding from parents of what they are signing. It also meets FERPA and HIPAA requirements. We had to have all of our legal departments review it and agree with that. And they also allowed us to put our logo on there showing our school district, showing our task force, showing parents that this is a community effort and not just coming from the state. We collected some baseline data. We know that the population-based prevalence of asthma in school-age children is in Rochester is 12%, and we have the Rochester EPI project that continues to follow our population very closely for these numbers. These are the most recent. There are about 16,000 students in Rochester public schools, and we did get to private schools as well, so we'll talk about that. But only 7% of these children at the outset had self-reported asthma, and none of them really had a written asthma action plan at school. If they did, the 18 students that did, they were written by their parents and not by a healthcare provider input. And we looked at two elementary school populations more closely and saw that about 10 to 12% had self-reported asthma. About 50% of those students had albuterol at school, which is a asthma medication, and none of them had an asthma action plan at school. So we took these two schools because they were they had school nurses who were really interested in improving this, and they would be our early adapter type school. And we sent letters from their health office to these students' parents and caregivers, and asked them, "Can you give us information sharing consent so we can talk to your healthcare provider about your child's asthma and get an asthma action plan from them?" So the push was really going to go from the school to the provider to get the asthma action plan. And you can see that the response rate was poor, and that was even after a phone call and a third letter was sent in some cases. There were eight of the 30 that refused to participate, but only three of those refused to participate for reasons that they didn't think it was important to their child. Five of them, their child no longer met our definition of asthma. And then a lot of the forms came back incomplete without a signature and date. And so these are things that we recognized we had to have more clear communication about when we sent it forward. We did take 13 of those parents and survey them by phone about what they thought about this process, and the majority supported the idea of care coordination. Some of them felt like their child's asthma was so mild that they really didn't want to spend any extra time on it. And there were no concerns about confidentiality and sharing information about their student's asthma, as long as they were in the loop that the communication was occurring. Then you'll notice here that it took until the fall of, or the summer of 2010, so we started in 2007 and now we're in 2010, to really expand this to all schools. By then we had about 10% of our school population reporting asthma to the schools, which is more in line with our prevalence data. We think some of this had to do with asthma awareness, both in healthcare providers having to actually use that diagnosis instead of things like reactive airways disease when they're talking to patients. And so we feel like our self-reported asthma rates went up over that time just because of increased awareness. And then about a third of these students had albuterol at school. And now 40 had a provider-generated asthma action plan. So just talking about this in our community and starting to move forward had already gotten the word out that we're going to be asking for asthma action plans. We were also able to address the children in the Rochester private schools, and that's because our private schools have a contract with Olmsted County Public Health Services, who helps them with their school nursing. So we didn't target all those 1,600 kids to start with. We took the third that already have albuterol at school. We sent a mailing to the parents and caregivers that contained a consent form and an example of an asthma action plan. Please take this asthma action plan and ask your provider to give you one or make one for you that's either this one or is the one they have in their office. That's a whole different issue of asthma action plans and organization-specific kind of things about their asthma action plan that they want, and getting a common asthma action plan has been another side thing that we've been working on. So the parent would then go to request that asthma action plan. The asthma action plan would either be given to the parent, who would take it to the school, or if they signed information sharing consent, which two-thirds of them did, the provider could just fax it to the school, and then it was done, and it wasn't lost in a purse or found in the trash somewhere. So our numbers between the public and private schools, you can see we got about 356 asthma action plans in the school year. Still had a significant number of students who had albuterol without an asthma action plan, but a huge increase from where we were before. ninefold increase in asthma action plans, and two-thirds of these students actually had information sharing consent too, which means that if the student is in the nurse's office all the time having problems with asthma, that consent form allows the school nurse to call the provider and talk to them and get more information about it. So the school nurses universally like the idea of having asthma action plans to give their teachers, to give their coaches, to give everyone else that that in the school that might be dealing with these students. As with any collaborative effort, there were barriers, and I'd like to talk briefly about those. The primary ones being time and money. To ask providers to do something that they haven't typically been doing, creating asthma action plans, to ask school nurses to track this data all on their free time, which there is none, asking parents to come in to the provider to have more asthma management, not less, is hard to do. And then for staffing, we did all of this initially with no extra staffing. So we were asking people to stay late after work and add up their numbers for us. And then all along, we've been looking at IT and how can we put these asthma action plans in a place where we can pass them back and forth without paper, without fax, without phone, and we've one of our side projects, we actually created a web-based portal, but then we ended up with a duplication. There's an electronic health record at school, there's an electronic medical record in the healthcare office, and then bringing all of that into a web-based means a lot of extra work, and so it hasn't been usable yet, but we're still working on it. One of the things that has helped in the healthcare side of things, and in my office especially, the Olmsted Medical Group is getting there, but we've developed a lot of care management processes that are RN-based, and these nurses can meet with patients. They know those NAEPP guidelines. They make an asthma action plan. They ask me to review it. It takes 30 seconds of my time to hit an electronic signature, and then it gets to a secretary and gets to where it needs to get. They also get these information sharing consents. Now, that's taken money and staffing from the medical side of things, but it's also done to meet some external incentives that organizations have now for pay for performance. Now, if you want to get paid for taking care of a population of asthmatics in a healthcare organization in Minnesota, you're going to have asthma action plans on those children, and you're going to have them on controller medications. And so the healthcare organizations have had reasons during this 3 years to do it, other than me saying, but our school nurses want them. So we've had extra help that way. And then most recently, we have some grant funding from, it's a Beacon Community Grant, and I'll talk about that at the end. Communication within organizations and between organizations can be difficult. That's why we have a collaborative that's been meeting on a monthly basis for 4 years now, talking about solutions to these, getting input from our stakeholders within our organizations and outside. We refer back to the logic model when we tend to get off track, and we say, hey, these were our common goals. We're still here. We need to keep moving forward. And then we have communication barriers in our students that we recognize are there, especially around language and then health literacy and their parents. And we're still in the very early stages of identifying how we can have resources for those students in our program. We found that change is difficult. I think that building trust and demonstrating a need, actually, I say that there are these external factors that have been driving us to get asthma action plans done. But when I went to my colleagues and I said the school nurses will use these asthma action plans if we make them, that was enough to get a lot of them on board with doing it. They didn't want to make them if they were going to end up in the trash by the elevator or in a cabinet lost at the parent's house. But if they're going to be used, they were much more willing to do it. And then within organizations, what's needed on an asthma action plan for a child versus an adult can be different. And those are the issues that we're still working a lot on, because we would like to have authorization from the parents to for the school nurse to give the medication all on the same form so that there's one piece of paper, not three or four every time a student needs to be treated at school. And then there are competing priorities that always get in the way. I mentioned that our timeline has been stretched to 3 years, and we have a lot of new care models to address other issues with child health, obesity, behavioral health, the complex care, children with special health care needs that other providers are working on and saying, hey, pay attention to this, and then there's asthma. And then we had acute care needs in 2009. Our project barely moved forward because of H1N1 and the push both at the healthcare providers and in our schools' need for nursing care. And then patients and families we recognize have other priorities. They think their child's symptoms are mild. They have busy schedules and can't get in to have take care of this. And then healthcare access is an issue for some of our children. And we feel like with these systems in place, our school nurses can help us better identify those children and get them into healthcare and get their even help us with asthma management and asthma control within the school setting. I'm going to briefly talk about the Beacon grant. We have a $12 million grant in our Southeast Minnesota community that came from the Office of the National Coordinator for Healthcare Information Technology, but it's really given us a lot of funding to spread these efforts to our 11 surrounding counties and 47 independent school districts. And with that money primarily going to working on this IT systems of helping electronic health records and electronic medical records talk to each other, we're hoping to improve our care coordination where children are in schools and where they come for medical care. I put the address at the bottom. On that site, we have a public website to review our progress as we go through. The grant is also helping us identify education needs in these communities. We've created an asthma toolkit, which has gone to all of the school nurses to help them with asthma management at school, and we're providing those resources. I'm going to skip this video because I don't have time to show it, but basically, in conclusion, we've shown that this collaborative involvement of all stakeholders has given a process for care coordination that's been successfully implemented and is moving forward. The Beacon grant is going to allow further study of education needs and these IT solutions, and we're still studying the impact on health and school-related things. And one of the biggest lessons I've learned is patience, because I'd like to be showing that already, but it's not a quick thing. These are all of our collaborators on both the task force and information technology, our legal departments, healthcare providers, school nurses, parents, and students. And we've used some resources that are out there. The American Academy of Pediatrics has a school in asthma program that had already thought about a lot of the information sharing consent, and we've gone to that site many times. And then the MDH asthma program also has a lot of good resources. And with that, I'll stop.